G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3. Well, we're back. We've had our NBA shows, some of the second show of the week, the NBL one, and NBL, what seems to be more NBL signings because more and more stuff comes through. It's been a great free agency so far. Some teams are really filling out. It's nice to see some teams be a bit more aggressive, even just around the bench guys. Like that's been, you know, one of the really important things, because that's a big part of championship teams is the depth. And some teams have really gone after some depth early, which has been good. But I need somebody to talk this stuff with. And look, he had a wish that he wanted to come back. So, you know, we made that wish come true. Steph D, double stuffed Oreo, you're back, mate. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Anytime.
It's good to be a four-time guest of the show.
Oh, man. Guest of the show is nice. You've upgraded yourself, have you? Well done. Friend of the show, buddy. There was only one friend of the show, one of one, and that's you.
Let's go.
Let's go. All right, let's jump in. Obviously, like we said, we'll do some NBL signings, and then we'll break down what was round four, the Anzac round for the Coles Express NBL 1 North. Not a super amount of games in this one necessarily, but some really good basketball played across the weekend for sure. All right, signings first though. Isaac Humphrey has agreed to a one-year deal with the Adelaide 36ers, which I thought was interesting after the season. Certainly not necessarily a bad season he had, but he's gone heading back now to the Adelaide 36ers. Just in time, they'll be able to get the Humphreys jerseys that were in the clearance bin at the games and things. They'll be able to dust them off, and now they'll be able to sell them as vintage Humphreys jerseys, charge twice as much. Choice. They'll be absolutely mint for them. But, mate, a guy you have a connection to, Kyle Bowen, has actually signed with United as what could be a little bit of a replacement there for Humphreys.
Yeah, played against him growing up, and he always kicked my ass. He was one of those guys that you were like, he wasn't the most athletic guy. He wasn't the best shooter. He wasn't the best at anything, but he was just great at everything. Like, he could rebound, he could dribble, he could shoot. And when he went to the St. Mary's, he was just like, yeah, he's that guy. And if he ever comes back, he's going to play NBL. Not to mention, he's just a really cool dude, super nice, super humble. So I'm stoked for him to be able to get a contract playing under who I think is the best coach in NBL right now, in Dean Vickerman.
Well, look, you know, United signed him on a four-year deal for a reason. They're obviously very much in love and want to go back to the promised land. So, indeed. All right, Ty Webster and Corey Webster have both been signed to new two-year deals over in Perth. And one that came through today as we record, Reese Vague, a bit of a vague signing, two-year deal for the Phoenix.
Nice pun.
Thank you. You know, championship experience, a really good pickup for the Phoenix. I feel as if they've gone a slightly different way, obviously. They've had to. What they were going with wasn't really working, so they're going a different way with some of their signings. Obviously, you're keeping Creaky and Williams, but look, I'm certainly not disliking the build and what they've done so far in this free agency.
Look, and I think Reese, he was actually, when I was under 12s, back in my Coburn Cougars days, he was under 18s, so I got to watch him play as a junior, and like he was great as a junior. Had those years at Perth, and now he's killing it overseas. So it would be really good to have him back, and I think he fits the team really well, because he's a spot-up guy who just so happens to be like 6'10". And when you got Creaky and Williams, who are going to get so much attention, you need a shooter. And at the four spot, that's amazing to have.
Yeah, definitely. We'll add depth to the Phoenix roster, which is definitely something, you know, they just felt like they just ran a little bit out of this last season. And then, of course, next star signing, AJ Johnson will be a next star signing projected in the 2024 NBA lottery, and will be signing for the Illawarra Hawks. So interesting to see how that goes, that shakes out. Obviously, Illawarra got to do something. They had a horrible run in their import spot with injuries and all sorts last year, led to very small amount of victories. But like I've said, they were in a lot of their games. Yes, they ended up being losses, but they were, you know, they were pushing and fighting, and they at least made things close and really had some ticker. And upside of that, Brisbane Capital's own Lachie Dent was able to get some real good burn out of, you know, unfortunate situations, but basketball situations in that sense. So,
in a way, I think this, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think next stars are really high stakes hit or miss, because they're either really, really good or they're not bad, but it's just they're not ready for that level.
Yeah, it is a little bit tough in that sense, because yes, I will definitely agree with that. We seem to get way up here, roller coaster highs or roller coaster sort of lows, and it's so situational and what's going on, you know, in and around the team and everything like that. It's even more, it feels like even more of a lottery sometimes than the regular import lottery that we get in the NBL, because it's so situational and to players and of course the teams they're on and what other injuries and whatnots and all that sort of stuff. So, but obviously wish Hawks and AJ the best with their season. Hopefully they can just stay healthy and really put some stuff together.
And that's not a bad point guard to have off the bench either, behind your Tyler Harvey and Justin Robinson, considering he's projected 13th. So like, that's pretty good to have off your bench. And if he doesn't pan out, he doesn't pan out, but you've got two guard imports already. And if he does pan out, that's 15, 20 minutes you're putting into a guy that's going to be very, very good.
Sometimes you got to risk it for the biscuit, right?
And if it's a bench guy that you're risking it for, I don't see it as a big risk.
Agreed. Oh, we've started this show just like the last show. We've started off on something we agree on, and then things have all gone to pot. Well, in the NBA, when we then started disagreeing on things. So let's see if it's a similar trend, hey?
Let's see.
You know, you never know. All right, time to look now at the Coles Express NBL 1 North. And of course, the Anzac round that was. And it was a big Anzac round. It really was. Even though there wasn't as many games as there sometimes is, because we had the North teams, most of the North teams traveling down to Brisbane. And we didn't have any internal style Brisbane sort of games. So. But we did have a lot of really solid action. Bit of a mix. Some games were, you know, a little bit blowouty, and other games were super tight. So let's jump into some action. Started off, well, you know, I commentate the Caps.
I play for the Caps.
You play for the Caps. Let's start with the Caps. It was also one of the first games to tip on Friday night. So let's start there. Brisbane Capitals women took on the Mackay Meteorettes. And look, Caps got this one done. They got this one done, 92-55. They really got a roll on in that first quarter and then kept it up and then didn't take the foot off the gas for the rest of the game. They were able to stretch into the bench and really share some minutes around, things like that. And this will put them 1-4 for the season.
You mean 4-1?
4-1, sorry, yes. 4-1, wrong way around. 4-1 for the season, much better statistically, 4-1 than 1-4. So, obviously Abby Cabillo had a monster game.
I think she missed two shots that entire game.
87.5% from the field.
She did miss just two shots.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wowzers, she did really well. Maya Lloyd as well, 18-13, double-double. It seems as if Abby and Maya they're almost going toe to toe in some of these games.
I think Maya was that 1-2 punch that was needed last year and just wasn't there. And that's not to say that anyone there last year wasn't good enough. It was just, I think they needed that second star. that second undisputed league star. Because obviously Maya killed it at Red City last year. And I think this year, his stats probably aren't going to be as impressive when the season is all said and done. But the fact of the matter is, her team will be more successful and she will be way more efficient because she's got better teammates around her.
Yep. Can agree. I think I think Caps and her are going to have quite a season. They've got a bit of a roll on. They've got some real chemistry flowing, and I think they're really starting to click, which, look, should be good as the season progresses, obviously. Let's move it on there. We'll circle back to the ladder at the end, and once we've discussed each team and game as we go through. Gold Coast Rollers were knocked down. Well, they were beaten by 11 points by the Cairns Dolphins. In this one, Shanice Wayne came out with 25 points, but Moira, not to be outdone, had 31 for the Gold Coast. She's been balling double-double, 31 and 15 for Moira. This is the second time in a row she's been way up there in the stats. Two rounds in a row, absolutely balling is that girl. And, of course, Penina Davidson.
20 and 20.
2020 game, baby. You know, very hard to go past a 2020 game. And, Swain as well, with those 9 assists on the back end. So, look, solid performance. It's one of these ones where – Gold Coast came out really strong in that first, but Dolphins just slowly ground it down, won every quarter after that. It got tight towards the end, but the heavy lifting had been done, and it was all she wrote for Gold Coast there. And Cairns and Gold Coast have fairly similar shot chart as well, like a lot of shots inside and some, mixture of threes. Not a lot of made mid-ranges. It's more that inside and outside sort of stuff.
That seems to be the direction of the game nowadays, Mel, though. You don't really – I feel like the mid-range game is lost because not many people practice it. Now, this isn't a therapy session about the mid-range game, but it's just one of those things where you're either shooting threes or you're shooting layups, and that's because of analytics.
It does. But the shot chart's there for a reason, mate. You gotta have the occasional looky loo, and there are teams that definitely do make it work to their advantage. But as you say, analytics, three is worth more than two, and that's what everybody's chasing. And sometimes it's a worse shot with a better outcome. I'll just put that out there.
I agree with that. Second time we've agreed in one shot.
Oh, well, that's got to change. I get the feeling it's going to change here eventually. All right, Ipswich Force. Look, they came up against a very tough Townsville Flames who, whilst they did lose to the Caps at home in Steph Reid's first game back just last weekend, they came down and no spoilers, but they really came out strong in this first game and were able to get it up over the Force and led the entire way. Most of the heavy lifting was done in quarter two and quarter three. Meg Essex with 6 rebounds, Howie with 9 assists, and Gorrell with 23 points for the Switch. They did what they could, but it was just a very strong performance of what would eventually be obviously quite a strong weekend for Townsville, and that really showed as well for Townsville because they were able to played more than six. They expanded their roster out, and it wasn't like their game against the Caps where they only played 6 players. They expanded this one out and were able to get it done. All right, moving on to Saturday's games. Northside took on Mackay, and I was actually there to commentate this game for Northside. And
how was it?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I'm not leaving Capitals anytime soon, don't worry. From a game point of view, it was actually, Mackay really stuck in this game for, I want to say, definitely they were in it. They had leads in the first quarter and they still had leads in the second. But then as things progressed into the, I want to say it was about 4 minutes into the second quarter, Dale for Mackay picked up a third foul, had to go to the bench. Wizards then went into full court press, which they then continued for the rest of that half. And while Mackay did a great job of absorbing that pressure early, it was just relentless. And eventually it wore Mackay down as they went into the half. And then after half, it continued, stayed relentless. And by that point, Wizards had that game covered and wrapped up within about a 15-minute window of gameplay over the stretch of halftime. They had it covered. And that was kind of all she wrote after that. But Mackay did their best to stick with it. And once Wizards actually got out to that lead, it stayed fairly similar. Although I would keep within the same distance, Mackay just weren't able to eat into it late. So
it is a tough Northside team too.
Very talented. And Tiana, I believe, is still in
France
at the moment. So, you know, just another key piece to add to what is a very strong matchup. And
MVP of the league last year?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, look, that's going to be interesting for everybody when she returns as well. So, but look, solid games all around. Woodsy with a 2010 game, AJ Johnson with an 18-11, and of course, Little Dart with a 20-6, who tussled really well with Derrida Dale for big chunks of that game. So, look, really solid. It was just tough. You know, Mackay's second game of a triple header weekend against what's definitely going to be a team that's going to be at the pointy end at the end of the season. No matter how you skin it, I can't, like, something horrible, like, you know, that we did obviously not going to wish upon anybody or anything silly injuries wise and lots of stuff would have to happen.
I thought you meant a big black hole forming under the Northside Stadium and sucking them all in. Their talent's getting sucked away by the monsters.
Space Jam style. All right. Okay. Oh, well, hey. Whew, you know, they could do a lot worse than the stars if that's where they went. All right. But heading into the next game, we had the Media 8 Northside Wizards taken down brutally by 1 point by the Cairns Dolphins. You know, classic Shasinda game. Once more, Panina Davidson again turned up once more. 1 point game, absolutely huge third. This game literally went back and forth with huge swings. You know, Seahawks had a 27-17 second quarter, Dolphins came back with a 29-14 point third, and then Seahawks brought it almost all the way back in the end, weren't able to get it done. And look, Cairns Dolphins, you know, able to get a tricky one on the road over the Media 8 North Gold Coast Seahawks. But Gandini, Dunham and Riley did what they could. Just tough. And the one thing I did like, though, was, you know, you have Kennedy, friend of the show, in Kennedy Hopewadi. Riley, Dunham and Gandini, all double figures, you know, helping out in almost every column across the way as well. So, just coming up short. And again, bench points.
Not many, 10.
Yep. And how many did Cairns have? 11.
11.
So, you know, bench points are just becoming more and more crucial.
Two very similar teams, two very top loaded. So,
yep. And, really good tight game, which is what we love to see, which is fantastic. Next one, Red City Roar. Well, they came up against a very firing on all cylinders Townsville Flames for game two.
You could say that they didn't roar very well.
It wasn't a Leonidas roar. Let's from the 300. Let's say that. Red City had it all to do. Couldn't get it done. Gazy had a really solid game, 9-13 for Townsville. India Bauer, when she gets that ball stroken, it's scary what she can do when she's in space. And of course, Steph Reid does Steph Reid things. And Steph Reid does 27 point, 10 assist double doubles, with 5 steals.
Yeah, she's a superstar in this league.
Absolutely.
Top two player in the league.
Top two player in the league, you reckon?
Easily.
Yep. Who have you got over? Who's the other name in the conversation if she's top two?
If she's top two.
Who else is in the conversation for that second spot in your mind, Steph?
Tiana? I think it's her and Tiana will battle it out.
Where we're sitting currently, I'm going to take Tiana. If that were my only two, I'd have to put Steph Reid one. And I'd obviously put Tiana two, but yeah. And obviously the season, the WNBL championship season that Steph Reid's had and friend of the show and, all that other stuff aside, they're both balling, but Steph Reid she's next level and, showed it in this game with the extra things that she's able to bring and how difficult it is to really do anything about her being on the court.
Well, Townsville went from being a team that was losing almost every game to now killing every game.
Yeah. So far. Except, of course, their game against the Caps last week. But, all right. Last game for the Saturday was Rip City taking on Rockhampton. And look, Carly Smith again with a double-double, 22-11 game. Unable to get it done against Rocky. Just really solid performances. And not just by, friend of the show in McSpadden, but Bauman, 29 point, 21 rebound, 4 assists, 3 steal, 1 block. Demolition.
Do you want to guess what she's averaging on the season?
What? 29 points.
24-19.
Oh, wowzers. Wowzers.
At the age of 22.
Which is, ridiculous and special. Like, really awesome to see.
Rocky got a good one.
Yeah. And right beside another good one in McSpads. So, look, again, able to get this done. Wasn't necessarily super close in the end. Huge first quarter, though. The fact that Rocky were able to keep Rip City to 6 points is a scary way to open the game. And from that point, obviously, then, things get a lot easier. If you're able to hold any team in this league to 6 points while scoring 4 times their amount of points, that's going to make the rest of the game easier. And that's exactly what Rip City ended up with, just a really difficult position, and Rocky were able to get it done. And just close it out in the fourth. But, Bauman, huge. Absolutely massive. Moving along to our Sunday games. We had Sunshine Coast Phoenix again coming up. Well, I say again for the Phoenix, this is for their first game, coming up short against the Cyclones. And just get the feeling that Phoenix are just a little bit of bad luck. They're definitely trying to bounce back from a really tough Wooden Spoon season last year. And this one, again, a tough one, but at the same time, they're in games and they're fighting for them. And
sometimes they get cheated out of a game, but that's okay.
Look, your words, not mine. Again, not necessarily disagreeing, just your words.
I just find it funny how I was there and I saw.
You saw?
I saw it. Like, the ball was in her hands when the clock went to zero and the score bench didn't press the button for the siren, because at Spartans, the siren isn't connected to the scoreboard. The score bench has to press it. The score bench didn't press it until the ball was released.
Oh. Interesting conspiracy theory from the tinfoil hat man himself. look, you saw what you saw, buddy. Not saying you didn't. But, Phoenix, they've lost this one. another huge game from Harima. 30-pointer. Brown chipping in with 23 points as well. I do love when you look down, a score sheet and you see a starter with 40 full minutes. You know, it really sort of, you know, show for me, I always see it as, you know, really showing some ticker to play the full 40. But yeah, another tough one for the Phoenix. Rocky again, another big Bauman game, 28-17. Again, reaching McSpads, another double-double, and of course Loader with a 19-11, four assists and one steal, and four blocks across the starters there as well for Rocky as well, which, you know, always love, not enough blocks. Always love seeing blocks. Love block parties. Fantastic. Southwest Metro Pirates were able to get a W over the Cairns Dolphins. Able to get it done late. Late in the weekend, Cairns just running out of legs. Leah Scott having a fairly typical Leah Scott style game, in that sense where she's always scoring, always fighting, always in there, no matter what. But yeah, definitely had the feeling of a game that was definitely the third of a weekend. These are always tough for these Cairns and Townsville teams when they come on these big road trips. But you know, the rest of the NBL One North needs to stand up and cheer them for doing it, because we can't do it without them doing that. So,
yeah, triple headers are tough, especially when you're playing 40 minutes, two nights in a row
against elite competition. And yeah, they just came up a little bit short in this one, but Metro Pirates were able to get it done through some basically just, you know, really solid effort from their starters with a little bit of help from the bench as well. They didn't go too deep into the bench, only 17 minutes worth of play, 9 points, but you know, it was all done, mostly done by that starting five, putting up almost double digits through everybody. And of course, Leah Scott with a 19-12-7 game. But Logan Thunder against the Townsville Flames in the Coles Express NBL One North 2022 grand final rematch. Yeah, the rematch that didn't necessarily go the way Logan wanted it to. Townsville Flames able to get it done. Now, I will put this little asterisk on it. No Michaela Roof for Logan Thunder. So not obviously not completely at full strength, but Townsville can only play the players in front of them. And that's the way that breaks. And of course, Steph Reid came ready for this one. 19-9-9. Just almost Steph D'Orio. You know,
do you think Steph Reid
close to a triple-double there?
Close. You kick it. Well, I feel like you, throughout the game, you don't realize what you have. And then you get to the end of the game and you're like, shit, had I grabbed one more rebound? Heck, had I thrown that extra pass rather than take that shot? But no, it's impressive what she did. And I think it's a sign of the impact that she has on the overall game, not just her scoring.
I definitely agree with that. It's not just one thing she does. It's a lot of things. But if we look into it, of course, points-wise, everyone's we had Gaze, Carey, Bowyer, Reed in the starters with 15 points or above. Minogue had 3-6 from the bench. It was all they needed to get it done. But, yeah, big numbers in the points column and also big numbers in the rebounds. And let's not forget another four steals for Reedy as well. Eight across the team. She's getting pulled down half their steals in this game. And, yeah, able to get it done in what was, I'm sure, an uncomfortable game for some Logan fans to watch, because they came down. They came down all the way down from Townsville at the end of last season. Got it done in two games. Didn't need the third. And, I'm willing to bet some Logan fans definitely would have wanted some payback. There would have been some members of this team who would have wanted some payback for that too, but unable to get it done. But let's keep it moving on to the final game of the weekend. And Southern District Spartans, unfortunately for the Mackay Meteorites, were able to close out a tough road road triple header for the Mackay Media Reds team. 76-63. Classic Mackay game. Like, they gave it everything, pushed big minutes from the bench. They really do use their bench players well. But just a little bit too much and a long weekend for Mackay. Southern Districts able to get it done. 20-point games for Liga Walker and Allen with, of course, Matty Allen with a double-double, 20 and 12. But, yeah, and what do we have? 14 points from the bench as well for Southern Districts, which, you know, when your team wins by 13 and your bench is scoring that many, really solid effort from them to get it done and close out a difficult triple header. Little bit different on the men's side, but let's have a quick look at the ladder before we move right along to the men's side. Mate, what trends are you seeing? What are you liking on the ladder there so far on the women's side?
Well, Northside's doing what Northside's expected to do, and that's win all the games. Darwin's been surprising. I think the Caps, although they're 4-1, and hopefully no one shoots me for this, I think they're doing what they're meant to be doing. I think the real test will be when they play Southwest, when they play Northside again, when they play Rockhampton. It's, we know that the girls are there. They're a top four team. But the real question is, how do they match up against the other teams? And that's not me being a hater. That's me being very objective about the whole situation. And if they can get wins against those teams, then they'll be really good. And if they can't, then that will have playoff implications, I think.
Well, definitely will. And I believe Northside is the was it Capitals head to Northside as part of the final round.
They do.
Of the regular season, which will be the litmus test. Because Wizards came into the Capitals building last year and was it the Capitals were able to get it done twice, 2 weeks in a row over them to A, get in, to win home court, and then B, to win their place on to then go on and play Logan, which eventually they did lose, obviously. But, yeah, I definitely think they're rolling a lot better. Things are flowing. Things are gelling. First outing against Northside, things weren't necessarily as gelling as well as they could have been. As a unit, obviously they took an L against a very, very high-powered team. But I think having first game and last game will be really interesting to see how well these Caps, you know, come together as a crew. And from what I've seen so far, I've seen a really big improvement from that first game. And obviously, you know, that they've played well, they've won well, they've beaten every other team that's in front of them, and that's all you can do so far.
They have. And I think, I know it's very early in the season, but just looking at this ladder, if Rockhampton keep winning, if Darwin keep winning, you don't want to drop games because you definitely don't want to have to travel to Darwin for a playoff game. You don't want to have to travel to Rocky for a playoff game. So.
No, you definitely don't. And from that Rockhampton point of view, they obviously don't want to go traveling to Darwin from there because they've got to actually can't fly from Rocky to Briz to then go to Darwin, which just adds all extra elements. So all these early season games are absolutely crucial. Darwin's next weekend where they technically head east on the north road trip for everybody else. And they'll take on Townsville and Cairns. They've already played Cairns once. Things are a little bit different now. Shanice Swain is back. How is that going to shake out? I definitely see them being a playoff contender at some point. At the moment, with their results, they're sitting in that tier one. Will that shake out after a few more games? That's the great thing about the standings and how things work. But, top eight, you're looking at Rip City, Cairns, Gold Coast, Rocky, Metro, Capitals, Darwin, Northside, and below that you've got Townsville, who just roared up into that place after they got three wins from the weekend. And now they're on 3-4. Southern Districts just below. Below there is Ipswich. Below Logan. Below there is North North Gold Coast, and below there is Sunshine Coast, Phoenix, and then Mackay and Red City Raw rounding it out, still looking for their first W of the season.
So those are another two teams that throw a massive wrench in this, because right now I think it's a top six league if everyone's healthy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. How are things gonna shake out over the next few games? And early season victories are always crucial.
They're key. You can't drop the early ones, especially when teams are not a full strength. That's the best time to get wins over teams, especially because it's a head-to-head league, I believe. So getting big wins is crucial.
It certainly is. All right, let's head over to the men's side. We've done the champagne. Let's do the other stuff.
Can I throw a random idea at you first?
All right, hit me. I like random ideas sometimes.
How would you feel about a NBL 1 All-Star game?
An NBL 1 All-Star game. Ooh. You know, I think I would like it a lot. The only difficulty with it would be crowds, in that sense of, because the way the NBL one is sort of situated, it's not always they do occasionally get in gunslingers, and will the crowds travel for, say, like an Ipswich player to a Brisbane, or how would that shake out? But if it was played in Brisbane, I'd be all over it. It's as a just a core concept, as a flash in the pan style idea of what could be an amazing game of basketball. Yeah, I think that could definitely be something. From a logistical point of view,
it would be a logistical nightmare, but right. I think it would be the coolest thing NBL 1 do.
Yeah, then you could would be cool.
You could get everyone wearing, like, one team wears their home jerseys, because most home jerseys are a dark color, and then the other team wears their away jerseys.
Which is the only way All-Star jerseys should ever be, in my mind. Like, take it back to those 90s games where you had the white home style jerseys and the darker color away. Obviously, in our league, it's the opposite, but yeah, that NBA style. Yeah, I'd be down for that. Logistical nightmare, but would it be a cool game of basketball? Definitely.
It'd be an incredible game of basketball.
Definitely would be. Question back to you, though. How would you split it?
How would I split it? Yeah. I would go captains. So you would pick two people.
A draft. Okay.
And you would put either some money or to like the team, because we have so many sponsors in the NBL 1. You either have a really good price pack for every player that's on the winning team from the sponsors, or we donate the money to a charity that is close to a lot of people's home. And unlike the NBA, where they wouldn't really care because they're multimillionaires, because it is grassroots basketball, I think people would actually care if there's a substantial amount of money up for, say, a charity, such as like promoting, like helping cystic fibrosis.
Yep, something like that. Yep, I'm sure there's lots of charities you could definitely do something like that for. So yeah, look, I certainly don't hate it, and I don't hate that idea. And I think if you were to put something like that on, I think that players would get after it, unlike all-star games in other places. So yeah, something to that. Difficult. Would I love it as an idea? Yes. Would I want to be the one putting it together? No. But would I go? Heck yeah. All right, let's jump over to the men's side of the draw for the Coles Express NBL 1 North Anzac round. And look, mate, a game you were there for. Let's start in the same spot. Brisbane Capitals, Mackay Meteors.
Tough game.
Depending on your situation, of course. If you're a Meteors fan, it was a little bit less tough. But Caps went down by 6.
I think we're slowly starting to show signs. Trevor Lakes obviously didn't have a great game against Rip, to the point that I would say he was pretty bad. But now that he's actually found his footing and he's got confidence behind him and he's doesn't have this pressure of I've got to make every shot I take. But hey, I am a sniper. He's now playing well, and it's awesome to see because he's a great guy and a great basketball player.
He was, yeah, sniper is a great way to put it. He just, when he took his shot in rhythm, it looked pure and absolutely gorgeous and never looked like missing. Like some of those shots were, and replicated it from different spots, had that same look to it each time. So, yeah, it was genuinely quite good to see. Mr. Kopskis, 12 points, friend of the show, obviously. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Did he pick up a tech foul in there as well?
Did he not pick up a tech foul?
No, not this week. Not this week. One on the road. That's and right. One on the road last
Matt
week.
Johns, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists.
1 steal, 3 blocks.
He's playing exceptionally. And what people don't realize is this guy's an NBA level athlete. And once he's fully confident, once he becomes like, yeah, I am an NBA level athlete, and just decides to start dunking on people, he will be a problem. Not that he's not a problem already, but he will be like dunking on people, like 2-3 people. He's that athletic.
I love the stories about Matty Johns when he'll have a difficult game or something like that, and he'll go, all right, I got to go work out. Like, no wonder you look like that.
Oh, he's
with that sort of work ethic.
He's one of the hardest people, like hardest working people you'll meet.
Indeed. All right. Difficult game. Obviously no Lockie Dent. And on the other side, of course, we had the 36-point, 9-rebound, 4-assist, 2-steal, again, no blocks, Isaac White. Game where he then only picks up 1 or 2 fouls, but plays aggressively on the defensive end. Like it's.
Oh, he's cooking this. I think I was having this chat to someone else. If he keeps going the way he is, I don't see him not winning MVP. He has to win it.
He is definitely balling out for the moment. And not too many spoilers, but keeps happening all weekend. Williams, I thought, was rather good in this game as well. Lee came up a little bit shorter in this game. Good solid handles. Just came up a little bit shorter on his shots. And, of course, eventually he had to sub out towards the end of the game with a little bit of a what could have been an ankle tweak, but did bounce back quite well. Baptiste, my lord. That man is a man mountain.
You mean Dwight Howard? Dwight Howard from 2016. He is massive. When he walked in to shoot around in the morning, I was like, this is the biggest human being I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And stories out of Mackay are that like he's easily like bench pressing heavy, heavy numbers.
Yep. And looks like it.
Yeah.
He's one of them classic guys you look at and go, I would not like to run into you in a dark alley. Like there's no way this frame can do anything against that. He is just an absolute man mountain, and baller inside, really tough, really solid, plays straight up and down and makes life really difficult for anyone who has to go into his airspace.
And I guess the cool thing is, and I watched all 3 Mackay games, is he doesn't need the ball to be good. And I think he understands his role very, very well, which makes this Mackay team has been constructed extremely well.
Indeed. Can agree and will confirm for sure. And it was great to catch up with Isaac White, again, friend of the show, after the game. and just really humble guy, just out there trying to cook and do his best for the team. So, for his team. So absolutely awesome effort from him as always. Moving on to the next game, Gold Coast versus Cairns Marlins. Gold Coast got this one done on the back of just a classic Cadee game, 42-10-8. And it's not as if no one else helped out. Like, he had some help from Eustace on the bench. TJ,
even Elijah. Kamu, like one of the young guys.
Tanner Krabs with 13, 8, and 1. You know, yeah, that might sound like a quieter game, but when Cadiz got 42, 10, and 8 off 40 minutes, I mean, Tanner will also happily take that step back. Like, he really, really showed that throughout the Gold Coast Rollers year last year. They were able to tag team whoever was rolling hot would just roll through, and obviously Cadiz was just rolling through this one. So, yeah, they were able to get it done over the top of Cairns in that one. Ipswich Force took on the Townsville Heat and got it done. Five-pointer by five, 99 to 94 in the end. Galloway, excuse me, Galloway with 27, 3, 6, 2, and 5. That's right, count it, 5 blocks. Wildly impressive stat. Very difficult to get after. Dang, 23, 9, 2, 1, and 1. Just they genuinely have players who fill up each and every positive category for
them. And then Sobey, he only had 13, 6, and 8. And then you have to think that that's Nathan Sobey. Like, come playoff time, he will turn that switch and he'll kill everyone.
That, you've got to think that.
Just think that. I believe that. Like,
yep, reasonable.
And there's no, and like, from my point of view, looking at this team, like, there's no reason why Sobey should go, like, after his, considering the star power he has around him. But when the game comes down to it, though, I think Sobey will take over, as he rightfully should.
Definitely has the ability to. it'll be interesting to see how team dynamics and play out and things like that play out, because obviously they are one of the more stacked rosters on the men's side. But, you know, and you never know how team dynamics and things like that are going to play out down the stretch. But, you know, Sobey is that, you know, he's been that guy who definitely has that capability, especially playing at the NBL 1 level. So we'll see how that goes. And Ipswich Force will hopefully get a full Sobey season this year with the way everything's, you know, lining up and shaking out. There's no Olympics or anything, you know, or seasons that are cutting in and different things. So hopefully for them, at least, they'll get a full Sobey season. And slash, still question marks around the old H Froling as well. So
yeah. I hope for Sobey's sake he gets a full season, because I think as much as NBL 1 is an NBL level, because it obviously, like, we don't have the money to pay the NBL 1, the NBL salaries, I think it's a great off-season thing to keep in rhythm. And like, the last 2 years, it's shown that if you have a good NBL 1 season, it does translate to NBL, because you are in rhythm. You feel like you're more confident as a result of playing against lower level. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, it's like Lockie Dent said on the broadcast for the Mackay game against Capitals, when he came up, he was saying, you know, the NBL 1 is that real place to really build the skills and, you know, increase your bag of skills, and then take that back to the NBL and, you know, show off what you've learned in the off/season. And, you know, that really allows players to, you know, take those leaps, which we're starting to see, which is another, you know, huge positive for the NBL 1. All right, heading over to Saturday's games, Northside Wizards versus Mackay Meteors. I was over there, and like I said, I commentated this one with Shawnee from the Wizards. It was a great commentary gig over there. Wizards came out at times early. They had a lead. They really stuck in the fight and really, really pushed it a lot of the way. Obviously, no Andrew White in this game. Luai Dang did what he could, but Mackay just absolutely relentless and won this thing through defense. And, you know, again, a big, although this was the lower scoring of the Isaac White
games, only 26 points.
Yeah, you know, but a crucial 26 points at a high clip. But for me, it was the defensive pressure where you had Baptiste, again, playing at the top, pushing guards out to the logo defensively in their system. It was absolutely amazing and like just crazy to see when you actually break down the athleticism required for a big man of that size to be able to do that. And he was just playing in the system. And you know, if that's where he needed to be, that's where he got to. And it was a really interesting, almost a little bit of a Joel Kalu masterclass in what he's got set up and what he's going to be looking to do against teams throughout the rest of the season.
And look, Joel Kalu is by far the best coach in the NBL one right now. And I'm saying that based on all his experience and all the history that he has. You don't keep a job in Mackay for that long if you're not a good coach. And you don't win that much if you're not a good coach.
And look, that's the thing he's got in his bag, in his trophy cabinet. He's the first coach, you know, on that men's side of the draw. He's got the inaugural trophy, his name right there, NBL one, first winning coach. Obviously, he wants to be the first and the third. Didn't quite work out so well last year. Obviously, came up against a tough Wizards team. But, yeah, it also felt as if this Mackay team came into this game with a little, not like, you know, frothing at the mouth to really tear heads off, but they were just consistent and relentless and really felt like they came in with something to prove. And they did in the end. Got this one done 78-93, closed it out, and a really just clinical Mackay win. But North, Media 8, North Gold Coast Seahawks, were able to get it done against the Cairns Marlins with a ridiculous, ridiculous Statman 3 almost. He just, from the camera angle I saw, it looked like his foot was just over the free throw line at the other end of the court as he threw up that buzzer beater early in the game. Crazy, absolutely crazy. But Statman still walked away with a double-double. So did two other of his teammates in Kraus and Majok. Majok had 12 and 13. Kraus had 20 and 18. Just, you know, super solid performance. Able to get it done. again, Duffelmeyer came out, had a big one. Antonio, 18 and 10, double-dubs. And, of course, the other Statman at the other end, you know, with 20 and 8, you know, solid game, solid performances from all. But yeah, Media 8, North Gold Coast Seahawks able to get this one done and get it over the line. Red City Roar. Now, they do this from time to time. They're an easy team to, you know, think, they're not going to be able to get it done. You know, they're an easy team. You think of last year's records and different things, and you know, in your mind, you just you know, the disrespect that people show them, and they come out and they take games like the one against the Pirates, and they took this one down as well. Came out with a strong performance early, kept it rolling, and you know, Townsville Heat just weren't able to close. Larkins with a huge 33 points. Really big for them. Key with 24 and 14. Mumtaz, 18 and 6. Bishop off the bench with 11 and 13. A bench double-double. Yeah, he obviously had 34 minutes, but you know, bench double-doubles you don't often see in the NBL one. So really solid performance by Red City and able to get it done against Townsville Heat team on the road. Last game of the Saturday, though, 94-98, Rip City against the Rockets. Big performance by them. Still no Kuatanoi just yet on the court, and they haven't added that piece yet back into their roster. But I did see on the socials today, him and Matt Kenyon went down. They picked up their player cars. So Kuatanoi is going to be, you know, rolling in.
That's a really scary thought.
It is. It is, especially when you think, especially when I think back of the NBL Awards night last season with the swagger and just, you know, that Kouatanoi was able to walk into that room with the season he'd had.
And now he's got an even better supporting cast.
Exactly. So, look, this Rip City team, with what they've already got, they seem to be really working things out. They didn't go super big. Loved the huge Verl dunk last week as well. That was absolutely – and you could see it from that camera angle was absolutely perfect because you could see he got his defender just going the wrong way enough, and you could see as soon as he took that first step, he was going to the basket hard. And it was a gorgeous dunk.
You think he's getting drug tested after that game?
An old random test?
Yeah.
Possibly. But, look, Rocky came at this one. Almost double figures from everyone on their starts. Only 4 points from the bench. Rip City had, 13 from the bench? But also didn't go too deep in their bench. Only went with a 7-man roster for this game. Excuse me. Rip City able to get this one done, and it's, like we said, scary when you think they've still got Kouat to plug back in. So,
and people, for like coming into this, I was talking to a few people and everyone said Matt Kenyon isn't going to be a very big impact. And I remember back when NBL 1 was QBL, back in those ancient days, and Kenyon played for the Phoenix. And he averaged a near triple-double, and he was killing it. Now, sure, if you look at the NBL, you know, he doesn't put up the most impressive numbers. But people forget that his role on that team wasn't to be a scorer. His role on that team was to play defense. And now that he comes down here, I hope people will finally see and appreciate Matt Kenyon for his skill talent, like his skill level and his talent that he has.
And again, it gives a player of that ability, you know, a chance to come down and increase the bag of skills and show off and do those things, which, look, I'm all for it. Means for better basketball at the NBL 1 level.
And look, if he can shoot 40% going into from the NBL season, he becomes a legitimate, like, star of the league.
Yeah, it means he's, you know, even scarier, and he's by no stretch a bad player at any in any measure
in any league. He's not a bad player.
So, don't know about any league, but okay, certainly here in Australia.
I'm taking the NBA out of this, and I'm just thinking Europe and NBL.
Well, he's a solid as defender, and you need to be able to play really good defense to play in Europe.
And this could be my worst claim I've ever made.
This will be good. Yep.
But I feel like the difference between
NBA, already took 76ers in 7, but you know.
Oh yeah. I feel like the difference between NBA and NBL is not the skill level, but rather the athleticism and the size. I think that's the only thing that really separates the two. There's the same amount of high skill level, but when you've got a guy that can do that at 6'8", 6'9", versus a 6'3", at the same position, there's going to be an incredible discrepancy.
I'll let you have that take. I'll let you have it. All right, let's jump into Sunday. We've got Sunday games, Sunshine Coast Phoenix 90 against Rocky. Tough out for Rocky. Sunshine Coast Phoenix men, they've got a really solid group that they've been slowly building over the last couple of years. They don't necessarily bring in, you know, huge talented pieces apart from a Matt Kenyon back in the day, obviously. But
and Jeremy Hill back in the day, for those who know that name. Sorry to cut you off, Mel.
You're right, mate. But they've been working with this crew for a little while, and they've got a little something going. They certainly do. So I think they're gonna really take home some wins throughout the season. They might, are they gonna end at the top of the tree? No. Will they beat down some teams that people are gonna, write off, or will they beat down some teams that that come into their house thinking they're going to be an easy win? Yes, but quite, more than likely. So Rocky went down in this one again. You know, big numbers from everybody who played. Another seven-man roster, but Sunshine Coast were able to go much deeper, playing a full full 10 men, well, full 10 out of the 12 available. But, yeah, another solid performance from Sunshine Coast, able to get that one done.
And, look, Phoenix is always physical when you play them. They're super, super physical, and you know it's a battle. So Rocky coming into the third game of the weekend, facing a super physical Phoenix team, it would not have been two-game weekend, would not have been an easy game.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. But let's head over to Southwest Metro Pirates.
Chris Cedar.
Correct. Cue it up. Game winner. Ball flies around the court. Ends up in Chris Cedar's hands. He lets fly. Triple. Metro Pirates come away with their first win of the season.
Cairns, no timeouts. Have to inbound it. Put up a heave that hits the back of the ring. That's what basketball is all about.
Mm-hmm. Those moments where your team is in it right to the end. They don't necessarily win it, but your team's in it right to the end. But bit of seed of magic. We've still got some – well, look, I hope we've still got a couple more years of some seed of magic. Obviously, both brothers not getting any younger, neither any of us. But, you know.
Definitely not getting any worse, though.
Doesn't feel like it. You know, when they can reach into their bags and have these moments, it's, you know, it's really impressive. So, yeah, look, solid performance from Metro Pirates, able to get it done. Cedar technically only scored 7 points, but three of the absolute most crucial for the Pirates. Benny Volkman, former cap, 11-11. One assist, one block. Lamar, 13-7 and 9 assists, almost trip dubs. And then, of course, Kai Woodfall, I think came out, I'm probably butchering the quote, but it was like, I want to be you when I grow up, like in a Chris Cedar sort of situation. That was the quote. I've probably butchered that, but you know, still, I love that from, you know, younger teammates and things like that.
You mean Dr. Woodfall?
All right. Logan Thunder, last couple of games. Logan Thunder was able to really get it done against the Townsville Heat. In the end, Dang with a 21-point, 21-point, 12-rebound game. And, of course, you got Shawnee Bruce over there, the old 11 assists.
And it's such a...
Only three of his own points, but... 11 assists, that's at least 22.
It's such a, like, it's, I'm going to say stupid 1-2 punch just because they're so good. Mm. Brucey at this level is an MVP. And Majok Dang is just, yeah, Majok Dang.
And look, Bosn Maslin, you know, he's balled out to start the season. This one was, you know, in that sense of, did he score big? You know, in this one, no, he only had 11 points. 11 points isn't much to, you know, nothing to scoff at, but I'm almost expecting, like, you know, more and more points from this young fella as he just seems to find his straps more and more. He's really kicked off again this season after building on his last couple here in Logan. This is his third in Logan. He just keeps building all the time and kid's balling, and you almost expect big numbers from him every game. So, and of course, you know, Rasmus Bark, Mitch Young, go to the bench. You got Howard Pooner and Morrell, like everybody chimed in to help Logan get over the line, over Heat. Last one, Spartans, Southern Districts, not able to get it done against Mackay, who, again, Isaac White, what's he to turn around and do? Has himself a 40-piece. Didn't get his 30-point average in the middle game. So needed to level things out a bit, bring it back up, drops a 40-piece, 48-8.
And now he's only averaging 35 points for the season.
Yeah.
Only 35.
which, to be fair, is an increase because he went into the triple header only averaging 34.5. So he's had huge games all weekend, and he's only increased his average points by half a point.
Does this, as a Bullet fan, make you excited that we've signed him?
Yes. Yes. Wildly. I'm a big, big Isaac White fan. And it's the off-court attitude, hustle, team first. You know, it's about the team, the system, whatever you need. That's the stuff I love. Because I think you just get the feeling through whoever, whatever situational stuff it is, that's what Bullets have been missing. And hopefully this really helps that. So, yes. But Williams and Lee, instrumental in this one as well. Baptiste, again, doesn't necessarily show up big in the score sheet, shows up big in the game, though. You know, it's that extra stuff. Tamara Moran, it was nice to see everybody get playing. I think it was Wicks, might have been young Horton, but at least they got back on. Had a really uncomfortable landing in a situation in that Wizards game, and one of those ones that was like, ooh, everybody was sort of tense because, you know, someone accidentally, I think it was Stanton from the Wizards, landed on his neck sort of awkwardly. Oof. And yeah, it didn't go well, but they both bounced up. They both made sure they were okay. And it was that sort of moment of, ooh, is that young fella okay? But he obviously got back on late in this game and was able to at least play, which obviously shows, you know, he came through that one all good. But Mackay, able to get this one down over Southern Districts. Southern Districts, you know, pushed and tried early, but Mackay just...
They got down like something like 20 plus and then brought it back to within six.
Mm-hmm. And really pushed them to the end. It was just a classic Mackay performance in the last little bit to stretch it back out to 10. So Spartans definitely gave it everything they had. Gak, huge, but White.
Just bigger.
Metaphorically.
And I think all these games have showed that there's so much talent in both the women and the men's conferences that anyone can win any game, because any one player can really go off for a very good game, or mm-hmm. any one player can really buckle down and lock someone down.
Yeah, it's a baller league where on any given day anyone can blow you away.
And I think it's only in the North, though. I think the other conferences are far weaker than the North in terms of talent, in terms of team.
Well, look, it will be interesting this year because we will have proper finals where, you know, there's no overlap between WNBL and NBL. So it will genuinely feel as if we'll have a more, not fairer test, but it'll be a much more level playing field in that sense of those teams who've gone out and spent a little bit more, brought in some more superstars, will actually get to play their superstars. So we'll get more of a regular season versus national finals consistency between the levels and see where things shake out, because, you know, through a couple of situations there with the Rollers and then with Townsville, obviously you didn't get that feeling last year at nationals, and it wasn't just the North who was situated with that. It was the Southwest were able to really come through strong and get things done. They won both the first NBL won national finals in both the men and the women, but you know, how will that go year two when things have been stretched out a little bit more?
And look, last year, if Jace, Tanner, and DJ play, no one's coming close to that Gold Coast thing.
Look, and what was really tough was their second game, I want to say. That was truly difficult because all those players were right there, because they were down with Brisbane duties, down in Melbourne area for a pre-season game, and they were around, but they couldn't suit up. They just weren't allowed to. That was tough for them as the person who was commentating the game, it was tough for me because I wanted him in there because that's going to give, you know, give better basketball in that sense. And that particular game, Rollers were able to get up, but it was just, ah, oh, what could have been. But anyway.
It is what it is.
It is. And thankfully, NBL, WNBL, and NBL One have worked together to make sure, you know, they've listened to everybody, making sure that that has been tweaked and changed so we can move forward. But, mate, that wraps it up for another week. Thank you very much.
That flew by.
Always does, mate. Always does when you're having fun. But thanks again for coming and joining me on the show. Friend of the show.
Oh, upgrades.
Nah, just kidding. Guest of the show. One of one.
Ah,
one of one.
Still one rare. Let's go.
All right, guys. If you are, obviously, if you are on the socials, please do give us a like, a follow, or even a share. If you are on a streaming service that allows 5-star reviews, please do go and do that. And then the follows and all that kind of stuff. Again, all that stuff makes a huge difference to everything we do. Please do help us out in any way you can. You know, and we will be on here, and I'll be sharing more things with, you know, different reels and trying to give people a heads up when games and different things are happening from around the NBL One, NBL One North especially, coming through the rest of the 23 season. But until you're listening to us again, just remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.